WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
Welcome to Just a Voice, a media outreach of Global Restoration Ministries. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton, and today we're going to continue in our study on the rapture of the church. I believe it's so important that you and I understand the purpose of the rapture and how soon it could take place. The rapture is the physical, bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenlies, from whence we are caught up to meet him in the air. It's not to be confused with the second coming, because the second coming is when Jesus physically returns to the earth. But this is a meeting or a gathering of the saints of God in the clouds to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're going to look at this study, and we want to understand the importance of it, and hopefully our expectation will be keen toward the return of the Lord, because Jesus is coming again. Beloved, these are the last days. We can see the trouble in the Middle East. We see what's going on in Iraq and Iran. Also, we see what's going on in Jerusalem and with Israel. Israel has always been a focal point for what God is going to do. Israel is God's timepiece or time clock, and we can see what's going on in Israel and judge and know what time and season it is that we live in. You know, Israel did not even become a nation until 1948. Neither did they recapture Jerusalem until 1967 in the Six-Day War. It's just so wonderful what God is doing in these last days in our generation to bring forth the prophetic word of God, and we can see these things taking place. Beloved, there are so many things on the horizon, so many things that are happening right now among us that we may not even be aware of. You know, the Bible says there's going to come a rise of a world dictator, and he's called the Antichrist. And when he comes upon the scene, that he's going to cause all, both large and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. Yes, beloved, you've heard of the mark of the beast, 666. Beloved, it's not so far off that you might think. Right now, here in the state of Florida, in the Palm Beaches, we have a company called Digital Solutions who is producing a microchip, a radio frequency device, and it's called Digital Angel. This Digital Angel is being implanted in families, in dignitaries, in CEOs, those of large companies, and this microchip has the ability to contain all of your information. And all they have to do is to scan that microchip, and that microchip will tell everything about that particular individual, their bank account, their medical history, their criminal record, if there be one. Everything pertaining to this individual will be stored on this microchip. Beloved, this is the technology, I believe, that the Antichrist is going to use in the last days. Now, 666 is going to be a prefix, or a prefix for entering into, or access code for entering into the system. Beloved, there is coming upon this world what is called a New World Order. We heard mention of this by George W. Senior during his time when he was in office, when he made his first invasion over into Iran. He said, "We are welcoming in the New World Order." We understand that there are those that are seeking to bring in that which has already been prophesied, that which has already been predicted. We know those of the Knight Templar Society, also known as the Illuminati, that goes down as far as where the Masons arrived from, that has already put in place a plan for a new world order. That's right, beloved. We're going into a cashless society, a one world government, going into a one world healthcare system. And beloved, it's not so far off as you might believe. Many things are happening in our world today that is setting the stage for this world ruler, this dictator called the Antichrist, to come on the scene. But beloved, we're not looking for the Antichrist. Because the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians that he cannot even be revealed until the church is taken out of the way. So what point am I trying to get to you right now? If we can see all of these things on the horizon, if we know that it is near, even at the door, then how much sooner can the rapture of the church be? Beloved, we have to be called away to be with the Lord in order to return with him. The Antichrist can't come on the scene until the church is gone out of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. So, beloved, we're coming to the conclusion of this age that we know as the age of grace. And we want to take a look at some scripture today, and we want to talk about different raptures that have already taken place. There has to be a precedent for what God is doing, for they said there's nothing new under the heavens. So God has already performed not one, not two, but three raptures have already taken place. And when the time for us to be caught up to be with the Lord, it will be the fourth rapture. And that won't be the last one either, beloved. We see in the book of Revelation where the two faithful witnesses, the olive branches that stand before God, that when they're going to prophesy for 260 days, or half of the tribulation period, that after 3.5 days they're going to be executed and their dead bodies is going to lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. But after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God comes back into their body and they're caught up and they're received up into heaven. Beloved, the rapture is not some strange mystical transaction. It's what the plan of God has in store for the body of Christ. Come on, let's look at Jesus' ascension when he went up, and let's look at the information that was left to us by the angels. Here in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had just got through instructing his disciples to tarry into Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And we're going to pick this up in verse 9. And when he, Jesus, had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. In other words, if we can prove that Jesus ascended into heaven bodily, then we need to go no further to prove that he's coming back bodily again, because the Bible says this same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven shall come back in like manner as you have seen him leave. And come on, let's go on down. Let's look at the four raptures, or the fourth rapture, which would be us. And we're going to look at each individual rapture that has taken place. First thing we want to do is we want to look in the book of Genesis. Beloved, why am I giving you this background information? Because if God did it before, he will do it again. And we need to see how God operates and his method of preserving the righteous and allowing the wicked to suffer the judgment without the righteous being a part of that wrath. Now, the first account of God taking somebody without dying is found in the book of Genesis chapter 5, and it talks about Enoch. And the Bible says in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. God just took Enoch without dying. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God. They had a relationship. Beloved, you and I have a relationship. We are called the sons of God. We are called the body of Christ, and we're also called the bride of Christ. We can't get in closer association than that. To be a member of his body and to be a bride of Christ, because the Bible said when the two marry, that the two are no longer two, but the two become one flesh. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, it continues to talk about Enoch's translation. And it says in verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Yes, beloved, I wanted to go there to let you know that Enoch did not die. He was taken up to be with the Lord without suffering death. He said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. And before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Beloved, are you pleasing the Lord today? How is it that we please God? The Bible said, by faith, Enoch was translated. Verse 6 of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So having faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, having accepted him as our Lord and Savior, it will qualify us for this event called the rapture of the church. When someone said, well, listen, beloved, I can't find the word rapture in the Bible. I've looked it up, and I just can't find the word rapture in the Bible. Well, beloved, don't be dismayed, because if you try to find the word Bible in the Bible, you won't find that either. So the word rapture is a word used to coin an event. It's a phrase used to depict a term of an event that will take place. The word rapture comes from the Greek word rapio, and it means a snatching away. It means to be caught up to be with the Lord. And so this is where we get the terminology of the word rapture from. So this was Enoch's account. Let's go on and see the next account that we see. And it's going to be in 2 Kings verse 11. And in 2 Kings we talk about Elijah. Elijah was another one who was caught up into heaven, never to die, and a foreshadow of what we the believers will experience on the day when our Savior catches us up in the clouds. And we're going to start at verse 9 in 2 Kings. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask, what shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee? And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be. And it came to pass, that when they were still went on, that they talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. Here, beloved, we see Elisha is an eyewitness to Elijah being caught up by a chariot of fire into heaven without dying. And of course, we've already gone over when Jesus was resurrected. Now, beloved, what is going to happen to the tribulation saints or those that are left behind, those of the Jewish remnant? Because, you know, during the time of the tribulation, the Bible said there is going to be 144,000 Jewish Israelites that are going to be sealed with the word of God in their forehead. Not only that, beloved, there are going to be scores that are going to be saved during the tribulation hour. In the book of Revelation, John was asked a question about those who came out of great tribulation. He said, Who are these and where did they come from? And John said, Thou knowest. And the angel said unto John, These are they that have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So we know that there's going to be scores that are going to come through the tribulation hour that are going to escape the Antichrist. Many will be martyred. Many will be slain and put to death for their faith, but they will not yield to the pressure of receiving the mark of the beast. But God has a way of preserving his people even during this tribulation hour, just as he preserved Noah during the time of the flood. Whereas Elijah and Enoch were a type of the church, Noah is a type of the tribulation saints, those that will go through the great tribulation, that will pass through the rod of correction, those that will be the Israelites or the elect that will be left behind during the time of the tribulation hour. When we see the Bible says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, what was it about the days of Noah? God told Noah that there was going to be a flood upon the earth, that the destruction of all flesh had come before him. And God said he would make an end of all mankind. He said, but Noah found grace in the sight of God, over in Genesis. Now, God said, build me an ark. And in the ark, Noah and his family, his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their wives, and Noah's wife, entered into the ark. And, of course, God sent the animals in two by two in some cases. And in some cases, there were seven of a kind that God sent in. And God closed the ark up, and they escaped the deluge of the flood inside of the ark. Well, God is going to preserve his people Israel. And we see that in the book of Revelation, that they're going to be put in a place of safety for a time and a time and a half a time in the book of Revelation chapter 13. Now, let's get into our study and let's see more about this exciting topic that we're talking about, the rapture of the church. Beloved, today we want to look at who we are in Christ. Now, we carry several titles, beloved. Not only are we the body of Christ, but we're also called the bride of Christ. And we need to see what is the relationship that God has between the bride of Christ and the body of Christ? Is God going to suffer us to go through the tribulation hour when he has allowed so many others down through the years to escape the wrath of the tribulation hour and to be with him via death? Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, beloved, we're talking about those who have already died in Christ. And there are those who have already left. They're in a state of paradise. If you have been listening to any of our broadcasts, we know that Paul describes this place where he was caught up as the third heaven, a place of paradise where the souls go that have died in the Lord. Come on, we need to ask ourselves some important questions here today. And so let's get in with our study here. The return of Christ is to deliver us from the coming tribulation hour. It's not to deliver us from the wrath of hell. Because see, that question has already been settled the moment you and I accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Beloved, we're saved right now. Right now, we are delivered from an eternal hell. So as I said in the beginning, the purpose of the rapture is the pre-evacuation of the believers from the earth before the wrath of God is poured out on the planet. And this wrath is coming to try everyone that dwells on the earth. It does not take the return of Christ to deliver us from hell. Salvation is instantaneously accomplished the moment a believer says, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." But the coming of Christ delivers us from the wrath of the coming tribulation hour. How will God do this? The Bible says over in Revelation 3:10, he said, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation that which will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Beloved, there is no way to escape this coming tribulation hour except you be raptured up and caught up to be with the Lord. Because the scripture said it is going to come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, the church is considered to be the body and the bride of Christ. Let's look at some scriptures pertaining to this. First, let's go into Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30. And we want to talk about the body of Christ. He says, "For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone." Now, to be members of his body and of his flesh and of his bone also will make us the bride of Christ. Because remember, over in Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 21, when God brought Eve forth from Adam, and God brought Eve unto Adam to see what Adam would call her. And well, let's just go into this account in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.'" That's right, beloved, one flesh. So we are members of the body of Christ, members of his flesh and of his bone. Not only are we called the body, but we're also called the bride. Now go with me, if you will, over to the book of Romans in chapter 12, and we're going to look at some more information concerning the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member one of another." So, beloved, you and I, as believers, are connected by faith into the body of Christ, and we become many members, but yet we make up one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ." In other words, beloved, although we say, "Listen, I belong to this body of believers over here, or I belong to that body of believers over here, I'm a member of this church there," Christ is not divided. There is only one body, beloved, and that is the body of Christ. No one has an exclusiveness or an exclusivity when it comes down to them and their relationship with Christ. No one can say that we are the body and everybody else is just off cast. You got many cults out there who claim to be the only ones that are actually living for God. But listen, those who name the name of Christ, those who call upon Jesus and made him his Lord and Savior, they become members of the body of Christ. Beloved, it's not necessary for you to join a local assembly in order for you to become a part of the body of Christ. Don't let nobody fool you, beloved. Listen, should you belong to a local church? Yes, you should. You should be faithful there. You should do the work of the Lord there. But your membership, I should put it like this, your membership in the body of Christ comes the moment that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the custom of some is, but even the more so as we see that day approaching. But those are local assemblies, those are local groups, and they make up part of the body of Christ. But there's one body, beloved, and we are all of that body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it not therefore of the body? And if the ear say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it not therefore of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole hearing, where would the smelling be? But now have God set forth members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness." See, God says, listen, every single member of the body is important. Beloved, you may not be a pastor, you may not be an apostle, you may not be a prophet, you may not be a teacher, you may not be an evangelist, but you are very important and you have a function in the body of Christ. Let no one deceive you or downplay your role in the body of Christ. God has placed around you in your sphere of influence those that God has assigned to your life for you to reach with the gospel of Christ. Beloved, it may be your neighbor. It may be the children in your home. It may be the people on the job. But God has given you that assignment. You may not have to win hundreds of thousands of people. That may not be your assignment. But if you fulfill the assignment that God has given you, your reward will be just as great as those who have won billions or thousands unto Christ because they have fulfilled their assignment. Beloved, it's so important that we fulfill our calling, that we set forth in our minds that to please God as being the first and foremost thing in our life, and to witness, to be a witness of his resurrection here in the earth, that men and women may know that Jesus is alive and that he lives in us. Beloved, we are the body. We are the representation of Christ here on the planet. Now let us look at Christ's church, his body and bride. Would a church go through the administration of God's wrath upon the earth? This is a question we need to ask ourselves. Is God going to leave the church here behind, considering we are his body and his bride? Will he leave us to go through the administration of his own personal wrath that he's going to pour out on the earth? Remember, we read over in Revelation that God said he's going to pour out his wrath upon the earth, the entire earth. Is God going to cause the righteous to suffer with the wicked? Well, beloved, we know better than that. Remember the story in Genesis when Abraham bargained with God over the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how Abraham asked God a particular question. He said, "Will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked, that the righteous should be as the wicked?" And his response was, "No, God is not going to do that." He said, "Be it far from thee to do so." God is not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. As a matter of fact, when the angels of destruction went into the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, they had to first remove Lot and his family out of the city, and they told Lot that we cannot begin our assignment until you have left and gone out of the city. The same thing is true for the body of Christ that is here on the planet. God will not begin the reign of destruction of judgment upon this earth until he has taken his body, his bride, the believers, out of the way before he administers his judgment. Why? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 9 say, we have not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, beloved, you know, time goes so quickly when you're on the radio, and this is my favorite subject. I tell you, it's been our pleasure to come before you today to give you the information concerning the return of the Lord. Now listen, we are currently holding our Bible studies, and listen, we want to invite you to come out, to sit in, to bring your Bibles, to bring your notepads, to bring your questions. Sit in and join us for our Bible study every Monday night from 7 o'clock to 9 p.m., and we're currently holding our service at the Learning Tree Academy. And the location is 2808 Avenue D, Fort Pierce, Florida, 34954. You can call me at area code 772-924-7344 and come on and get in our Bible study. Beloved, there's a lot going on in the world today. We go over line upon line, precept upon precept. You need to come on out and bring your Bibles. Currently, we're starting in the book of Genesis, and I tell you, some exciting discovery. There's revelation flowing in the classes. People are asking questions, and I tell you, there's time that we're going to be seeking the face of God and to know what we ought to be doing in these last days. Come on out and join us. Again, this is going to be on Monday night at the Learning Tree Academy, and it's at 2808 Avenue D, Fort Pierce, Florida, and the times is 7 to 9 p.m. Remember, that's every Monday night. And please, beloved, bring somebody with you. We're going to be talking about the cross, salvation. We're going to be rightly dividing the word together. God has revealed some things that we need to be aware of. What is our plan and our purpose that God has for our life in these last days? It's for us to be more than conquerors, beloved. God's plans for you is good and not evil. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is not a doom and gloom message, beloved, but this is God showing us how great a love he had for us, that he's willing to take us out of harm's way and make sure that we're in a place of safety before his wrath is poured out. But beloved, we have a role to play while we're down here on the planet. Jesus came not only to save us, but to be a living example and a prototype of how you and I are to function here on the planet. Jesus says, as I am, so are ye in this world. In other words, beloved, the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, the testimony, not only the testimony, but the witness of God and the heart of God need to be manifested in our lives. Come on out, join us in this Bible study. We're going to have an exciting time and watch the Lord move by his Spirit. This is Pastor Philip Upton, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I invite you to join us every Friday afternoon at 4 p.m. for Follow His Sandals.
This show is about practical keys to help all of us walk more closely with our Lord Jesus Christ to become better disciples.
Star who knows.